Thank you, Chris Villar. Doug Karsh, by the way, in the house, so he's back from vacation, him and the Gator. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Mike and Rico at 2. By the way, quick question for you, John, and I pretty much know the answer.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you anyway. Chris mentioned Bo Nix doing really well.
Yeah.
And will probably be their starter. So you got Stidham and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, Zach Wilson is the number two.
Okay.
They let go Stidham because they don't want to have a third receiver. Would you rather have Stidham, who's actually done okay as a starter in this league at times,
yeah,
or Hendon Hooker?
I'd rather have Hooker at two. Okay. If you want to bring Stidham in to continue to develop and be the three, I could think about that.
Yeah, all right. I tend to agree with you. I think we might have something pretty cool with Hooker, but it's still way, way, way too early.
Sure, it's way too early to think of him as a starter, mm-hmm. and the only way that that happens is if devastation hits the Detroit Lions. But to be able to come in and get them out of a game, or let's just say things go as I have planned them, and they are resting their starters in week 18, I'd be fine with Hendon Hooker going out there and getting a start.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see that being Nate Sudfeld.
I get it. All right. There's another job that I think we don't know for sure was sewn up on Saturday. And that would be the place kicker. Jake Betts, 3 for 3 on field goals.
Or Bates.
Did I say Betts? I've said
that's
I've
all right. There's a Betts on defense.
I know. I've done that a few times. I don't, you know. Jake Bates.
Yes.
One of these days, I'll be able to master that name.
I knew there was a joke coming. Exactly. I knew it. I just knew. I knew today when I was texting with buddies over the weekend and I told them that you were in, there was going to be... And this happened in the very first time we talked about Hendon Hooker. You made a Hooker joke. I also knew...
Well, you brought it up.
No, I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, you talk about the Hooker package.
Yes, it was... It was in reference to something professional.
Right, I know.
And well, then I just, you made a joke of, I would be, I'm very excited about the about hookers or something like that.
Yeah, the hooker
and
package.
And so, yeah, my phone instantly blew up. Right. There it is!
Yes.
And I also knew that when we talked about Jake Bates, you would find a way to talk about his mastery of the skill of kicking.
Yeah.
You can
think what you want.
All of those have come to fruition.
Yes, exactly.
But yes, I do believe Jake Bates will start the season as K1, since we're using initials for wide receiver 3, QB1.
I'm glad he doesn't have this. Never mind. Nope. It would have been the wrong joke anyway, so I'm going to keep it to myself.
I don't even know what that joke would have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Of poor taste? You could tell me at the break. Our podcasted break, which you could find nowhere.
No.
But
no, it wasn't poor taste. It was supposed to be poor taste, and then what I was going to say is poor taste really was the wrong
way to use
what I was going to say.
K1. Okay.
Okay. Yes. What did you say again?
K1.
Okay.
Heather, am I missing something?
I don't know, but I don't. Nobody knows anything. You just got to share what you were thinking, or just.
I was gonna.
Move on.
There's a product that starts with a K, and I was gonna say a good thing he doesn't wear number 9, and then I said, wait a second, it's not called K9, it's called something else. So I didn't even say it because it would have been wrong. What?
Why not? Why wouldn't you say it?
Because it was
why?
Wrong. No, I would have.
Why, Stoney?
Oh my God.
I think we've laid the plans for everybody to figure out
we got
the joke that you intended.
Right, which would have been completely wrong.
Okay, so anyway, speaking of the Lions...
K9's a dog, not a jelly.
K9 runs for... He runs for Seattle.
That's right.
Anyway, trying to get back on the tracks. Jake Bates is going to be the kicker. And I'm wondering, for all of the Lions faithful out there, are you willing to continue to take a shot on Jake Bates? Has he done enough to earn more opportunities? And by that, I mean, does he earn the chance to start the season as your kicker? Place kicker and field goal or extra points? Because he did miss his only extra point.
Correct.
But he has hit from 55. He's hit from 53. He hit 4 field goals on Saturday. Obviously, he hit the game winner.
Right.
And so has he done enough for you to go into the season not having anyone else on the roster that if things fall apart or if he loses confidence, that you're okay with Jake Bates on a Super Bowl contending team?
I'm okay with it for right now. And look, if he F's up, then there are plenty of kickers on the street that are decent. Okay. Hopefully, who was that guy they had that was awful? Ryan Sisoto or some creep? I forget his name. Yep. He was awful.
That's why nobody remembers.
I know.
But Dan Campbell did talk, obviously, after the game. He was asked about Jake Bates. And there's a couple of quotes that I think were pertinent in regards to, especially this is where coaches try and find out as much as they can about players. When you don't have a great track record or resume, they're looking for anything to say, is this guy a competitor? Can he handle pressure? This is, let's go with number 4. This is Dan Campbell talking about Jake Bates. So, yes, it's not kicking.
Good Fowler.
Well, but it's, you're always trying to find,
yes,
is a guy a competitor? How right. does he carry himself in, out, and around in the community? How does he act? Does he have confidence? Because as a kicker, like, they're a strange breed. And I've talked about it a lot, but you got to have a guy that has, when you talk about short-term memory in the NFL, you could have a guy that goes out there and totally just shanks a kick. And then you may be, because you can't make a change mid-game, you may call upon that same guy to go out there and kick a game winner. And we've seen both happen, where a guy just can't get out of his own head and can't seem to find anything in between the uprights, whereas there's others where they do shank a kick and then they come back and they drill a 55-yarder. And so is Jake Bates of that guy? And Dan Campbell is trying to find every possible way to rationalize in his mind that, yes, we're going into this season with a guy that we believe has confidence in his ability no matter what the situation. And the second cut is kind of where I've talked about, even if he starts the season as a kicker, it doesn't mean he's arrived. Greg, can we go with number 5 from Dan Campbell? Greg, number 5. Even the best kickers are going to miss some kicks.
Oh, yeah.
And so going into the season, obviously against the Rams week 1, you want to have a guy that you have confidence in, but also know that he's not going to be perfect. And I still ask everyone, is he the guy that you want lining up in a situation in the preseason like he did in Kansas City? But whether it's the Rams, it's San Francisco at the end of the year, it's Green Bay in Green Bay, it's Chicago in Chicago, that you believe you got a better odds to make it than miss it?
Look, especially, well, you mentioned on the road in Chicago and Green Bay, they have, I believe, what, 14 of their games are indoors?
Yes, 3 of them are outside.
And look, I mean, I know it's not the same.
One's going to be outside in San Francisco, so weather shouldn't be too
right.
much of an issue.
I know it's not the same thing, but he has performed at Ford Field pretty damn well.
Yes, he has.
Granted, it was
with the Panthers.
Yes. So he,
and he also kicked a nice, it was 53 yards in when he was playing against the Giants, and that was in the rain.
Yes.
Not grass, but it was turf.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other question was asked of Dan Campbell in regards to, will this change your in-game management? It's going to be a process.
Yeah.
And right now they know he's good from 53. They know he's good from 55. Maybe this would be weird. Maybe he's good from plus 35 because he did miss the extra point.
Correct.
And it just needs to be long kicks. He's just got a big leg.
Yeah. By the way, the kicker I was trying to come up with, his name is Ryan Santoso. I know. I was close.
Toast.
All right. We have some ticket texts that are somewhat interesting. Is John saying the kickers are important?
If they're going to win the game for you, yes, in that moment. It is a necessary evil.
I say cut Jake Bates and just punt or go for it on fourth down. With Campbell coaching the team, we're just about there already anyway. That's Joe in a car. Stoney is stoned. Hmm. Stoney needs to master Bates's name.
You did mess it up. You called him Jake Betts.
That's right. That's,
so when you master
right, that's
Bates's name. Mm-hmm.
And this is why I was happy to see Stoney retire. Dude is an old creep. Come on, Stoney.
Yes, that's probably in reference to your, when I said K1, the insanity that followed that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Do you think it will change how Dan Campbell, if Jake Bates is the kicker, will it change his in-game management?
Yeah, I think a little bit. Because if he knows he has a guy who's going to make it from 60, he might go for it. I mean, or he might not go for it.
Yeah.
He might kick. He might kick.
And he might not tell you after the game.
Exactly.
That was priceless.
Which is why we love Dan Campbell. 97 won the ticket.
Hey, the summer driving season, we're right in the thick of it right now, and we've seen this combination. Increased traffic, big trucks, motorcyclists, and construction. It all contributes to the fact that summertime in Michigan has more accidents than any other season of the year. And if you've been injured in an accident, injury attorney David Femininio and his team are ready to help you right now. David will never take a fee until he wins your case. And you can speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Is the telephone number. Let's go to Spencer in Birmingham. You're 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Spencer.
Last time I actually spoke with you, Stoney, it was 2 days before your retirement, and I was the person that deemed you a godfather of sports radio. And my friends tell me, because you probably can't remember, along with Jansen, you know, I'm a federal officer, and I thanked you for allowing me to get my degrees as, you know, as I was studying for my master's, my PhD in criminology. I told you how much you were instrumental in allowing me to listen to you and study at that time. And when I deemed you the grandfather of sports radio, my friends say, now that I've returned this weekend, they say during Mike's shows, when he guest hosts, he's referred to as the grandfather of sports radio. And I just remember Jansen laughing and thanking me for giving you that name.
Yes. He does look like the grandfather of sports radio. Yes.
But yeah, and I mean, it's totally as a compliment, not regarding his look or his age, but just meaning, you know, his 30 or so years being one of the forefathers of actual, you know, radio talk and meaning so much to so many years.
Thank you, Spencer. That's very nice of you.
The amazing part is he didn't start till he was 50.
But, and again, thanks so much for what you did for my career, and I'm so grateful I gave you that. And to hear you refer to as a grandfather, it's not regarding your age, it's just regarding how much you meant to all of those after you and Terry Foster and Art Regner and those, and Pat Caputo. All of you created the you know, the Costas and the Riegers of today. And obviously,
so you're responsible for Rieger.
It's all my fault.
It's all your fault. But I wanted to say, and this is what John, I so love you, my friend. John often says, you can't teach speed, you can't teach a strong arm, and you can't teach a gifted genetic strong leg. And we're talking about a guy, meaning our, you know, our current Bates kicker, who didn't obviously kick in college to any significant degree. And you're talking about a guy who proved himself in the most unlikely of stages with the Michigan Panthers. And obviously, he's not currently a Gary Anderson. He's not an Adam Vinatieri. He's not a Robbie Gould. He's even not a Jason Hansen. But what that guy showed Saturday is that with the proper coaching that Detroit has, with that culture that they'd have, that they currently exemplified last year, with the faith they've proven in him by giving that two-year contract, this guy proves in another year he's going to be a gem in the same way that after Goff was traded for and he was referred to in his first year as Goffle, And now people are chanting his name and saying the best thing that happened to us was for them to trade for quarterback Goff. They're going to be saying this in another year after Bates proves himself with the current coaching he's getting and after the future year I predict he's going to have. And again, I'm being prophetic, and I know most people may laugh at my prediction, but what he showed those stones, and I say that in reference to Stoney, but those stones that guy shared, that guy demonstrated in that last kick to win what is a meaningless preseason game, that erased what he failed to do in that Michigan Panther playoff game by missing that kick. And he's not about a 65-yarder or a 60-yarder, but he said, guess what? I got the leg to do in the future what I'm going to do routinely at 35 and 40 and 45 yards, because a guy can kick 30 and 40 and 45 yards can do that all day, but he can never be taught to kick 60 and 65 yards, which this guy would do in 2 years with the coaching that Lions staff will give him and the support his teammates will give him. And wow. Again, Jansen, loved you at Michigan, loved you as a great Washington Redskins offensive player, and with a few years that would have been injury free, you would have been a Hall of Fame player, and one that Michael Strahan, a Hall of Fame player, said was his worst player to face against. That, in my mind, puts you as a Hall of Fame player that had the best sack producer coin you as his worst opponent to face. And Stoney, again, man, I bless you because I.
Oh,
thank you, Spencer.
I'd like where he was going.
I was waiting for my turn.
Oh, yes. Like,
okay.
Yes.
Hi, Spencer.
Heather Park. Yeah, yes. Yes. With Heather Park.
What are you going to say?
Spencer's
a nice guy.
I
was waiting for the Jaws music.
My goodness.
So what were we talking about?
You guys, pretty tragic story. A 7-year-old boy is in the hospital after he was shot in the head while he was asleep in his Detroit home early this morning. So police say the boy is in stable condition. So that's the great news. But he may still need surgery because the bullet is lodged in his head.
Oh my goodness.
It was the result of a drive-by shooting. So right around 5 a.m., the boy, like I said, was asleep in the front room of the home when somebody shot into the house. There were 11 people inside, including 8 children. Okay. The suspected shooter or shooters fled in an unknown vehicle. It's believed that the shooting was a result of a conflict between one of the adults in the home and obviously
somebody
this
outside,
other person. Yeah. It's also being investigated that perhaps it was gang related. Everything is under investigation. An 86-year-old woman in Ann Arbor was killed over the weekend after being struck by a vehicle. The crash occurred early Saturday morning in the area of Dexter and M14. The driver, a 22-year-old from Ann Arbor, stayed at the scene, is cooperating with police, and everything is under investigation. Happened really early, right around 12:30 on Saturday morning. So Taylor Swift isn't quite ready to put her nearly 2-decade-long beef with Kanye West to bed. So she originally released a track. I don't know how much you guys follow Taylor. I know you got daughters, so maybe you are a little bit aware of this.
I might be out of loop on this one.
She released a track called Thank You, Amy on Tortured Poets Department. And the letters are capitalized, the K, the I, and the M, which is taking a shot at Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
It's so Kim is in capitals. But she just released a live version of the song and reworked the title. It's still called Thank You, Amy, but the Y and the E are now capitalized.
Oh, so thank you, ye. Yay.
Or yay. Yeah.
However you say that.
I think who knows? I think it's yay for Kanye.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway, so it's taking a shot at him. And anyway, you can go find the new version on our website. So it's still going on. The beef still exists.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a fan of Ludacris, you can go and stay in his mansion.
Oh, really?
Ooh. For $4.
$4?
Yeah. Yes, pretty cool. He just teamed up with Booking.com to open his estate in Atlanta for 2 nights, September 3rd to the 5th, for $4.04. That's the area code. And it says during the stay, guests will meet Ludacris himself, have a splash-filled backyard barbecue, enjoy a gourmet dinner at one of his favorite fresh French restaurants, and basically just live the fantasy. But it's first come, first serve. So you have to go on booking.com. It starts August 20th. It's going to be over in 2 seconds. August 28th is when you can go online. Four guests.
And what's the dates that you're allowed to be there?
September 3rd to the 5th. Are you available?
That's a quick turnaround. I'd have to see. I don't know. Is that a weekend or
no? You'd have to take off, or
I'd have to see if Stoney's available.
I'm sure. Well, no, not only that.
Maybe we could do it live from down there.
I'm saying. I'm sure. Ludacris has pretty good equipment that you'd be able to. I'm talking about to do a remote broadcast. See, it's not always me.
Most of his movies are, you know, PG or PG-13, right? Maybe it's violence, but I don't know. You're talking about his equipment.
His recording equipment?
Yes.
I'm guessing so talking about, yes.
Exactly. So you can plug in a Comrex into his studio and boom, you're there.
Great sound. It would sound amazing.
Yes. Sound better than ever, John.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Finally, the Democratic National Convention kicks off today in Chicago, and you can make some bets on it if you'd like. You can bet on which celebrity will make an official appearance. Long list of celebrities to bet on. Also, you can bet on Beyonce songs. It looks like whoever made this betting, I don't even know what you call it, sheet, is betting that Beyonce will perform. Mm-hmm. That's not a given, but there's bets on what song she will perform, if Kamala will dance with her, what color shirt or dress she's going to wear. So there's lots of things you can go and make bets on. You better do it quick, though, if you're going to.
Oh, I know. Hey, come on. You Kid Rock at one, Beyonce at another. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumors that Bruce is going to show up.
He's on there.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift is on here.
Yeah, exactly.
George Clooney.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga.
I mean, who's the Democratic version of Hulk Hogan?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh.
He's on the list.
Dana White was also at the Republicans, so we need a commissioner of a sport. But I don't know who that would be, but yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, maybe? I don't know. Who knows? It's the whole thing. I can't wait till all this stuff is over. November, whatever, the day after the election, can't come soon enough, but then again, no matter what side wins, it's going to be hell either way. Ugh. God.
It's a positive outlook.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'll be back next segment.
Yeah. I'm being realistic, unfortunately. All right. Thank you very much, Heather.
You're welcome.
97 won the ticket. .248-539-9797 Tigers win the game 3-2 in 10 innings. They are the champions of the Little League Classic. They won the series with the Yankees 2-1. It was really cool, the whole thing.
It was, from start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
obviously, it was exciting that the Tigers won in extra innings. But, you know, you start with the national anthem, what was amazing by a 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That just belted it out, and then you go with the first pitch. That's the relay all the way in from outfield with the little leaguers. The announcements of both rosters, you know, starting rosters, it just was fun.
Yeah. We have some ticket texts.
Oh, boy.
And as you can imagine, as we like to say, maybe these are texter on caller crimes.
Oh.
Shut this guy up. This is our buddy Spencer. Jesus, Spencer, we get it. Jeez, Spencer, get a room. How much did John have to pay his neighbor to call into the show?
I don't live by Spencer.
Can we please have this entire segment back? That's from Tom, Greg, and Metro Detroit. The last caller made me long for Mr. Positive. Okay.
Well, I mean, his point, if we can, you know, get past all of the other
platitudes,
yes, was that, you know, in a year's time, could we look back on this when we look back on Dallas right now with Brandon Aubrey, who was a soccer player, nobody had ever heard of him, and all of a sudden he comes on the scene and he's a Pro Bowl kicker, with the best kicker, one of the best kickers in the NFL.
Should we do this weekend?
No.
66 or 67? Oh,
yeah. I heard about it. Yeah. I didn't see it. Could we look back in a year's time And Jake Bates is being talked about in a similar fashion because he does need more time. He does need more opportunity and reps. The only way you get that is by being on a roster right. and getting those opportunity and reps.
And, you know, it's weird because he went through one, I forget if it was week one or week two of training camp where he was not very good and people were sitting, maybe we got to go get a kicker.
Well, and we were there for some of those, and yeah, there were some misses. There were some also some great makes, and you're looking at it going, you know, and he's right. You can't coach guys to be able to kick 65-plus yards. Like, some guys can, some guys can't. You can't coach a guy to run a 4.240. Some guys can, and maybe you can make a guy from a 4.29 to a 4.23 with technique and you know, some skill work, but you're not going to take a guy that's 4.8 and make him 4.2. You're just not in the 40-yard dash. So his point is you got a guy with a strong leg. They don't come along very often. Now, maybe on some of the shorter distances and maybe when the lights are brightest, maybe he doesn't have it. Well, we don't know.
Right.
And so we got to find out. And the lights were a little bit bright. On, you know, in Kansas City because it was a game-winning kick.
On the road.
On the road. But, again, all of those opportunities, while he can use that as experience, all those numbers are wiped clean. And you're going to start off 0-0, made 0, attempted 0 when they play the Rams, and that's when it's going to matter most.
So I assume everybody's cool with Bates being the kicker.
We haven't heard anybody say no.
All right. Also on Saturday, we saw Hendon Hooker play a really good second half.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't start the game, and Sudfeld, statistically, I thought he played better than his stats, but still, Hooker was significantly
better. Clearly the
better
one, yeah.
Yes. Are we okay with having a rookie as your backup quarterback? Because he didn't play last year, so he is a rookie.
I like the fact that he went through his progressions, even on his touchdown run. He was looking to throw the ball up until the last second. Everything broke down, and then he made something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that he is a completely different style than Jared Goff. So if he goes in the second half or the third, you know, the third to fourth quarter, whatever it is, mm-hmm. he's going to present a different option for the Detroit Lions and Ben Johnson to be able to call plays that whoever the defense is has not focused on, is not ready for. And so that uniqueness can get you out of a game. It can get you a win. It can make him look really good because they're not prepared for it. They're prepared for a statue at quarterback.
Right.
And so if he can go through progressions, if he can do some of those things, and then also be able to get outside the pocket, extend plays, maybe pick up some yardage, you can use him in the run game. All of those things add to the fact that it's going to be hard to defend him when you've prepared for one quarterback all week long. So I like the fact that, because if Sudfeld goes in, it's not a whole lot different than Jared Goff, just a heck of a lot worse.
Right. He does have more mobility than Goff.
So do you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that might be a little facetious.
By the way, speaking of Jared Goff, let me ask you this. Did you, during the Tigers game, my daughters and I thought we heard the Jared Goff chant.
Oh, really?
In Williamsport. But then on social media, some people said they heard it, but some people thought they were just saying they were chanting Aaron Judge. And if you have a predisposed, you know, notion of what you're hearing, you're always going to hear that, which is like those misrepresented lyrics that.
You know, right. Yeah. People say something, then that's all you hear.
Right.
And then they say something else, and you're like, oh, now I hear that.
Yeah. But I thought when I heard it, I thought it was Jared Goff. But anyway. I digress. So we're in agreement here. 248-539-9797. Bates should be the kicker game one, and Hooker should be the backup quarterback game one.
Okay. QB2.
Here we go. Wide receiver. If you believe it's a problem, how many wide receivers do they keep? 4 or 5? And who is wide receiver number 4? Because we seem to be in agreement right now because of all the other weapons that they have, especially with Laporta tight end and Gibbs wherever he's going to line up. You know, St. Brown's 1, J-Mo is 2, Caleb Raymond is 3. Who's 4? Is it DPJ? Technically the incumbent or the favorite going in to take Josh Reynolds' place, or Isaiah Williams, who showed a lot on Saturday afternoon. Isaiah Williams was targeted 8 times, 6 receptions, 71 yards. He also rushed the ball in a reverse. He had 11 yards on one carry. He also had a punt return, 3 of them, for 41 yards.
Let me ask you this question. If you're one of 31 GMs not named Brad Holmes, and they, let's just say they go into it with 3 receivers, and they cut DPJ and Isaiah Williams, you're one of 31 others. Who gets the first call? They're both available.
Depends what kind of if you have a team you think it can contend, you might go DPJ.
Because you're on a team that thinks they can contend.
And so are the Lions.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. But
so if you look at it from that angle, I mean, because you're trying to look at it, okay, if they cut Isaiah Williams, he doesn't make the final roster, then...
Do you think he'll get claimed or it will
or
be
available
squad?
For the practice squad? Because... that could be a route that you want to go. I don't know that you want to take that risk because I do think he gets picked up. And I think he gets picked up quicker than Donovan Peoples-Jones does.
I you know what? I tend to agree with you because there are teams. I mean, Kansas City maybe could use another receiver, right?
I think there's a lot of teams that would be looking for wide receiver 4 or 5 because typically a team will keep 5 receivers. Last year, the Lions kept 5 receivers coming out of training camp. So if you're going to keep 5, maybe you keep them both, and this is more of a debate of, you know, who's going to be active against the Rams versus who's going to be inactive,
right?
Instead of who makes the team and who doesn't make the team.
The only reason I mentioned Kansas City was because there have been some talk that, you know, guys like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney might get cut.
Well, Kadarius Toney can't catch a cold.
I understand that. That's why I said that. Yes, you know, and there's, you know, Worthy and, you know, Watson, and who knows with Rice is. Rice might get suspended for a couple of games or whatever.
Rashee Rice, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Because of his extracurriculars?
Yes, indeed.
It's been a number of them this offseason.
Yes, there have been. All right, 248-539-9797.
Hey, well, I'm going to be there on Thursday and Friday, and I'm talking about the Circa Resort and Casino. And I don't know if Costa's going to wear the Cabana outfit or not. I don't know if he's going to dive into one of the... what's 3 levels, 6 pools that make up Stadium Swim, but I think I want to see if that's a possibility. You can also catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. I just mentioned there's 1 of 6 pools to choose from on 3 different levels, and you got a great view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. That's Stadium Swim. Maybe we can get Costa on the big screen. It's America's favorite place to watch football since it's football season. You got swimmer bars, insta-ready selfie walls, and 1 nonstop party every single day. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons, might even be all Costa. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Lions win it 24-23. Saturday, Ford Field, the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town, and I would assume, because they have not looked real good thus far, that both Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you would think, would be playing, right?
I would think so. I mean, they're trying to figure out who, you know, their starter is going to be.
I know.
And who can find a rhythm with the offense. Is Russell Wilson completely falling off a cliff? Did that happen in Denver? Did that happen in Seattle when they decided to move on from him? Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields... he has shown flashes at times when he was in Chicago.
But the Lions at times.
It hasn't happened yet in Pittsburgh. Now it's, you know, obviously new offense, new system,
correct,
new receivers, new everything. But yeah, neither
your boy
guy
is their
looked,
offensive coordinator.
Who's my boy?
Arthur Smith.
Oh, yeah. It just...
Two, four, eight, five, three, nine, 97, 97. Tigers win the game 3-2 in 10 innings. They are the champions of the Little League Classic. They won the series with the Yankees 2-1. It was really cool, the whole thing.
It was, from start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
obviously, it was exciting that the Tigers won in extra innings. But, you know, you start with the national anthem, what was amazing by a 13-year-old that just belted it out. And then you go with the first pitch that's the relay all the way in from outfield with the little leaguers. The announcements of both rosters, you know, starting rosters, it just was fun.
Yeah. We have some ticket texts.
Oh, boy.
And as you can imagine, as we like to say, maybe these are texter on caller crimes.
Oh.
Shut this guy up. This is our buddy Spencer. Jesus, Spencer, we get it. Jeez, Spencer, get a room. How much did John have to pay his neighbor to call into the show?
I don't live by Spencer.
Can we please have this entire segment back? That's from Tom, Greg, and Metro Detroit. The last caller made me long for Mr. Positive. Okay.
Well, I mean, his point, if we can, you know, get past all of the other
platitudes,
yes, was that, you know, in a year's time, could we look back on this when we look back on Dallas right now with Brandon Aubrey, who was a soccer player? Nobody had ever heard of him. Nobody ever. And all of a sudden, he comes on the scene and he's a Pro Bowl kicker. Well, the best kicker, one of the best kickers in the NFL.
See what he did this weekend?
No.
66 or 67? Oh,
yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it. Could we look back in a year's time and Jake Bates is being talked about in a similar fashion? Because he does need more time. He does need more opportunity and reps. The only way you get that is by being on a roster and getting those opportunity and reps.
And, you know, it's weird because he went through one, I forget if it was week one or week two of training camp where he was not very good and people were sitting, maybe we got to go get a kicker.
Well, and we were there for some of those and, yeah, there were some misses. There were also some great makes and you're looking at it going, you know, and he's right. You can't coach guys to be able to kick 65-plus yards. Like, some guys can, some guys can't. You can't coach a guy to run a 4.240. Some guys can, and maybe you can make a guy from a 4.29 to a 4.23 with technique and, you know, some skill work, but you're not going to take a guy that's 4.8 and make him 4.2. You're just not in the 40-yard dash. So his point is you got a guy with a strong leg. They don't come along very often. Now, maybe on some of the shorter distances and maybe when the lights are brightest, maybe he doesn't have it. Well, we don't know.
Right.
And so we got to find out. And the lights were a little bit bright on, you know, in Kansas City because it was a game-winning kick.
On the road.
But again, all of those opportunities, while he can use that to as experience, all those numbers are wiped clean. And you're going to start off 0-0, made zero, attempted zero when they play the Rams, and that's when it's going to matter most.
So I assume everybody's cool with Bates being the kicker.
We haven't heard anybody say no.
All right. Also on Saturday, we saw Hendon Hooker play a really good second half.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't start the game, and Sudfeld, statistically, I thought he played better than his stats, but still, Hooker was significantly
clearly the better
one,
yeah.
Yes. Are we okay with having a rookie as your backup quarterback? Because he didn't play last year, so he is a rookie.
I like the fact that he went through his progressions. Even on his touchdown run, he was looking to throw the ball up until the last second. Everything broke down, and then he made something happen. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he is a completely different style than Jared Goff. So if he goes in the second half or the third, you know, the third to fourth quarter, whatever it is, he's going to present a different option for the Detroit Lions and Ben Johnson to be able to call plays that whoever the defense is has not focused on, is not ready for. And so that uniqueness can get you out of a game. It can get you a win. It can make him look really good because they're not prepared for it. They're prepared for a statue at quarterback.
Right.
And so if he can go through progressions, if he can do some of those things, and then also be able to get outside the pocket, extend plays, maybe pick up some yardage, you can use him in the run game. All of those things add to the fact that it's going to be hard to defend him when you've prepared for one quarterback all week long. So I like the fact that, because if Sudfeld goes in, it's not a whole lot different than Jared Goff, just a heck of a lot worse.
Right. He does have more mobility than Goff.
So do you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that might be a little facetious.
By the way, speaking of Jared Goff, let me ask you this. Did you, during the Tigers game, my daughters and I thought we heard the Jared Goff chant.
Oh, really?
In Williamsport. But then on social media, some people said they heard it, but some people thought they were just saying they were chanting Aaron Judge. And if you have a predisposed, you know, notion of what you're hearing, it's all you're always going to hear that, which is like those misrepresented lyrics that
People say something, then that's all you hear.
Right.
And then they say something else, and you're like, oh, now I hear that.
Yeah. But I thought when I heard it, I thought it was Jared Goff. But it was. Anyway, I digress. So we're in agreement here. 248-539-9797. Bates should be the kicker, game one, and Hooker should be the backup quarterback.
Yep.
Game one.
Okay. QB2.
Here we go. Wide receiver. If you believe it's a problem, how many wide receivers do they keep? 4 or 5? And who is wide receiver number 4? Because we seem to be in agreement right now because of all the other weapons that they have, especially with Laporta tight end and Gibbs wherever he's going to line up. You know, St. Brown's 1, J-Mo is 2. Caleb Raymond is 3. Who's 4? Is it DPJ? Technically the incumbent or the favorite going in to take Josh Reynolds' place, or Isaiah Williams, who showed a lot on Saturday afternoon. Isaiah Williams was targeted 8 times, 6 receptions, 71 yards. He also rushed the ball in a reverse. He had 11 yards on one carry. He also had a punt return, 3 of them, for 41 yards.
Let me ask you this question. If you're one of 31 GMs not named Brad Holmes, and they, let's just say they go into it with 3 receivers, and they cut DPJ and Isaiah Williams, you're one of 31 others, who gets the first call? They're both available.
Depends what kind of team. If you have a team you think it can contend, you might go DPJ.
Because you're on a team that thinks they can contend.
And so are the Lions.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. But
so if you look at it from that angle, I mean, because you're trying to look at it, okay, if they cut Isaiah Williams, he doesn't make the final roster, then...
Do you think he'll get claimed or be available for
the practice squad? Because that could be a route that you want to go. I don't know that you want to take that risk because I do think he gets picked up. And I think he gets picked up quicker than Donovan Peoples-Jones does.
I you know what? I tend to agree with you because there are teams. I mean, Kansas City maybe could use another receiver, right?
I think there's a lot of teams that would be looking for wide receiver 4 or 5 because typically a team will keep 5 receivers. Last year, the Lions kept 5 receivers coming out of training camp. So if you're going to keep 5, maybe you keep them both, and this is more of a debate of, you know, who's going to be active against the Rams versus who's going to be inactive,
right?
Instead of who makes the team and who doesn't make the team.
The only reason I mentioned Kansas City was because there have been some talk that, you know, guys like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney might get cut.
Well, Kadarius Toney can't catch a cold.
I understand that. That's why I said that. Yes, you know, and there's, you know, Worthy and, you know, Watson, and who knows with Rice is. Rice might get suspended for a couple of games or whatever.
Rashee Rice, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Because of his extracurriculars?
Yes, indeed.
It's been a number of them this offseason.
Yes, there have been. All right, 248-539-9797.
Hey, well, I'm going to be there on Thursday and Friday, and I'm talking about the Circa Resort and Casino. And I don't know if Costa's going to wear the Cabana outfit or not. I don't know if he's going to dive into one of the, 3 levels, 6 pools that make up Stadium Swim, but I think I want to see if that's a possibility. You can also catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. I just mentioned there's 1 of 6 pools to choose from on 3 different levels, and you got a great view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen That stadium swim. Maybe we get Costa on the big screen. It's America's favorite place to watch football since it's football season. You got swimmer bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party every single day. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium swim, all sports, all seasons, might even be all Costa. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Lions win it 24-23. Saturday, Ford Field, the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town. And I would assume, because they have not looked real good thus far, that both Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you would think, would be playing, right?
I would think so. I mean, they're trying to figure out who, you know, their starter is going to be.
I know.
And who can find a rhythm with the offense? Is Russell Wilson completely falling off a cliff? Did that happen in Denver? Did that happen in Seattle when they decided to move on from him? Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields, he has shown flashes at times when he was in Chicago.
It's but the Lions at times.
It hasn't happened yet in Pittsburgh. Now it's, you know, obviously new offense, new system,
correct,
new receivers, new everything.
But yeah, your boy's their offensive coordinator.
Who's my boy?
Arthur Smith.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't clicked for either guy yet.
No.
And obviously the regular season is rapidly for them approaching.
I know.
Can't get here fast enough for us.
Our station Steeler Slappy, the Hatchet Man, is not very happy with his football club right now.
Yeah, probably not.
No. Tigers yesterday, the Little League Classic last night, win it 3-2. And you saw this weekend, Torque came back up Saturday, had a really good Saturday, didn't do much yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, Sweeney came up, he got one hit. He looks like he can field really well at shortstop. Jace Young hit, got a big hit last night too as well. And, you look at this team, and they played a lot of young guys last night. Let me tell you something. I mean, you look at, Carpenter, 26, Meadows, 24, Green and Sweeney, 23, Young, 23, Torkelson, 24, Carpenter, 26, Veerling, 27, Rogers, 29. I'm sure I'm missing somebody as well. But they had a lot of guys who were playing who are young players, and I think we're seeing firsthand, whether we like it or not, what the plan is. And for the next 6 weeks, you're going to see a lot of these young kids. Now, Malloy got sent down because Riley Green came back. So this is what we got. And I think it's important for the front office and for AJ to figure out what they have going into 2025. And the fact is that, although they've played well, right, lately, they've won 6 out of 7. Their next 10 are against the Cubs, White Sox, and Angels. They should win 6 of those minimum, but it's not going to be as easy as we think because of the pitching situation. They only have 2 starters,
right?
And Scooble and Montero, and their group efforts, as AJ calls them, have been really good. The ERA for those guys have been like, when they start, when they have the non-starter games, have been 2.5 like the last 3 weeks or whatever. So that's good. But do you have faith in this? I do. I and it's still, it's way
well,
too early.
It's early.
I like what I've seen early. Put it that way.
So do you think they've developed a core? The goal of this year was to develop a core. And when that core was available, they would start adding, auxiliary pieces around them to take a shot at playoffs and hopefully more in the coming year. So
right.
Do you think, as of now, when you look at Meadows, Green, Carpenter, Keith, Torkelson, Young, Sweeney, Rogers, like they have a core?
I'm not sure Sweeney's part of the core yet. It's a little too early.
He was just on the roster.
Yeah, I know.
Like you could pick and choose some of those guys.
Yes, and look, they want the core to expand to Clark and McGonagall in 2 years, probably. Yeah, but 2 to 3 years. But as
I don't
far
want to wait 2 more years before I know. We could add to the core.
Correct. So, yes, your answer is, yeah, I'd like to see them spend and get, what, 2 arms and 2 bats if they can. Look, I'm not being unrealistic. They're not going to go get somebody like Juan Soto. But they can, you know, they should build to this core. Right now, the kids are all right, as the WHO would say, but we'll see how it goes anyway. Lions win it 24-23. Saturday, Ford Field, the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town. And I would assume, because they have not looked real good thus far, that both Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you would think, would be playing, right?
I would think so. I mean, they're trying to figure out who, you know, their starter is going to be.
I know.
And who can find a rhythm with the offense. Is Russell Wilson completely falling off a cliff? Did that happen in Denver? Did that happen in Seattle when they decided to move on from him? Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields, he has shown flashes at times when he was in Chicago.
It's the Lions at times.
It hasn't happened yet in Pittsburgh. Now, it's, you know, obviously new offense, new system,
correct,
new receivers, new everything. But
yeah, your boy's their offensive coordinator.
Who's my boy?
Arthur Smith.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't clicked for either guy yet.
No.
And obviously the regular season is rapidly, for them, approaching.
I know.
Can't get here fast enough for us.
Our station Steeler Slappy, the hatchet man, is not very happy with his football club right now.
Yeah, probably not.
No. Tigers yesterday, the Little League Classic last night, win it 3-2. And you saw this weekend, Torque came back up Saturday, had a really good Saturday, didn't do much yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, Sweeney came up, he got one hit. He looks like he can field really well at shortstop. Jace Young hit, got a big hit last night too as well. And you look at this team, and they played a lot of young guys last night. Let me tell you something. I mean, you look at, Carpenter 26, Meadows 24, Green and Sweeney 23, Young 23. Torkelson 24, Carpenter 26, Veerling 27, Rogers 29. I'm sure I'm missing somebody as well. But they had a lot of guys who were playing who are young players. And I think we're seeing firsthand, whether we like it or not, what the plan is. And for the next 6 weeks, you're going to see a lot of these young kids. Now, Malloy got sent down because Riley Green came back. So this is what we got, and I think it's important for the front office and for AJ to figure out what they have going into 2025. And the fact is that, although they've played well right lately, they won 6 out of 7. Their next 10 are against the Cubs, White Sox, and Angels. They should win 6 of those minimum. But it's not going to be as easy as we think because of the pitching situation. They only have 2 starters,
right?
And Scooble and Montero, and their group efforts, as AJ calls them, have been really good. The ERA for those guys have been like, when they start, when they have the non-starter games, have been 2.5 like the last 3 weeks or whatever. So that's good. But do you have faith in this? I do. I and it's still, it's way
well,
too early.
It's early.
I like what I've seen early, put it that way.
So do you think they've developed a core? The goal of this year was to develop a core, and when that core was available, they would start adding, auxiliary pieces around them to take a shot at playoffs and hopefully more in the coming year. So
right.
Do you think, as of now, when you look at Meadows, Green, Carpenter, Keith, Torkelson, Young, Sweeney, Rogers, like they have a core?
I'm not sure Sweeney's part of the core yet. It's a little too early.
He was just on the roster.
Yeah, I know.
Like you could pick and choose some of those guys.
Yes, and look, they want the core to expand to Clark and McGonagall in 2 years, probably.
Yeah, but
2 to 3 years. But as
I don't
far
want to wait 2 more years before
I know.
We can add to the core.
Correct. So, yes, your answer is, yeah, I'd like to see them spend and get, 2 arms and 2 bats if they can. I'm not being unrealistic. They're not going to go get somebody like Juan Soto. But they can, you know, they should build to this core. Right now, the kids are all right, as the WHO would say, but we'll see how it goes anyway.